How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Sissies, we are in a state.
Is there a new flavor of Oreos?
No.
Oh, they finally started a gay men who can knit subreddit?
No. And if they did that subreddit, I would report it for being sad.
Well, what is it then? Some new Keira Knightley movie?
Close. Sissies, we are excited for Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump.
Now on Hulu. Oh yeah, it looks delish and the guys are really hot.
It's not only about the hot men, Maddie. This is a high-class show, and Lisa Vanderpump is taking us across the pond. Sissies, in this gorgeous new show, you can join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
With really hot French guys?
No. Well, maybe. Stop distracting me. Sissies, meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance,
and misadventures.
But don't get it twisted. The staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards as they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests.
True. And Lisa has a staff. Mixologists, chefs, housekeepers, event coordinators, and a chateau manager.
Who's really, really hot.
I knew you'd get there. But sissies, not everybody has what it takes.
Oh no, it gets messy. So get prepared, sissies, because Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new.
Woo!
Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Y'all, we gonna go to the strip club. I love a good strip club. I love strippers. Not like, I don't like strippers. I like strip clubs because those are like more fun.
Y'all,
I don't know why like she thinks that Mila is going to be like ruin our lives. I didn't have a baby to have like Mila like ruin my life.
I am not the smartest person in the room, but I am smart enough to know you should not take your wife who's been raising her baby by yourself. In the baby's form of to a fucking strip club.
I will say the way it was done, he was trying to kind of like have fun. She actually, I think she was the one who suggested it.
No, but well, at least in the edit, he suggested it. He did though. Yeah.
Maybe I was wrong because I thought that she talked about being a stripper for him.
I think
tonight.
She talked about being that's a much different thing of her
no,
to
I
being
agree.
A stripper.
She said maybe I will be a stripper.
She's saying maybe I can be desirable to you. And Joey says no, let's go look at strangers. I don't
let's
even
go
know.
Let's go look at strippers. Yeah,
y'all, this is reality, guys.
I love strippers. I love strip clubs. Who says that? I will say I do know couples who have gone to strip clubs together, and I think Yara is a little. I think they're not all places where guys just go to immediately jerk off after. I think there is also a culture, especially in Dallas, of men who go to strip clubs for like business stuff.
And there is.
I can't believe I'm defending straight male culture.
I'm not
strip
defending
clubs.
I wonder how popular that is now in the days of Me Too.
That's a good question.
So, there are men and women who go together. So,
Reality Gaze. Did you mention that? I think you
did. Y'all, this is Reality Gaze, part two of episode
part dose
14 of season 6.
She's a snake in the grass.
She's a butter in the dairy mine.
She's a rat in the butter churn.
This is a good episode. This is
butter.
We're going to be, if you're watching on the Intimate Portrait, we're releasing this to everyone on the Supercast. Sorry, Super Sissies, y'all don't get video. So everyone on Patreon is getting the video because we just didn't have time to do classless this week. So that's why you're seeing. So if welcome to people watching Poodle. Don't show some of your body parts. No one wants
to see.
You
want to see the shoulders, y'all? Yes. I'll show you my side. That's not a sexy part of my body. I don't know what that is.
You want to see my knee? Look at this
knee.
Come at us if your husband's into your knees, ladies. Let us know.
I had a guy who was really obsessed with my belly button. He was
really,
yeah, like to come in it.
I was gonna say he came in your belly button, didn't he?
That was one of his favorite things.
And then he licked it out and spit it on your face, didn't he? Wow, I just read you for filth.
I just turned red. He didn't spit it in my face though. He did get it out. It was his little sippy cup.
We got it. Wow.
What the fuck?
We just lost two people. Because the rest of you are still here because you didn't.
The rest of them went hot.
Carl, I got an idea, Carl.
She has learned so much about gay sex.
Carl, I realize I got a new term, sippy cup. It's sexual, Carl. Go get the grandbaby sippy cup from the kitchen. Go get that. And show your daddy. Go get it.
I think it is funny that when we first started doing this, we had mostly women come out and say, "Thank you. I've learned so much about sex and more than I ever wanted to about the world of gay pornography."
You're welcome. You're welcome, y'all.
You know what?
That's why
it takes all kinds in this world, honey.
It does. That's why my name is Matt Marr, aka Maddie, and my sexologist with me is Poodle Boudreau, aka Jake Anthony. We're here.
Poods.
We're here
I
for
also
your
answer to poods.
We're here for your pleasure.
Yes,
your pleasure.
I am, especially if your husband's hot.
Yes,
and remember, y'all, it's not cheating if it's with Poodle. If you're at a live show and I just grab your husband by the hand and say, let's hit the head, just know that I'll bring him back to you just good as new.
He'll just have chlamydia.
You may want to get him checked out, seriously.
Yeah.
You may want to get him like sucked through a Silkwood shower.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's it. We talked about we're not going to go into it deeply. We just want to remind you, F-Boy Island's dropped on HBO Max. That show's really fun.
We really like it.
The first three episodes dropped. We've recapped to episode one. We're going to hopefully put out another episode of that this coming weekend. Well, I guess by the time you are hearing this, hopefully the second episode's already dropped. That's on the free feed, so be sure to listen to that. Love is Blind, After the Altar, is dropped as well.
Yep, that's going to be our $5 Patreon.
Our Bi Curious is coming next month in August. We're going to push it a week just because we had so much stuff. Don't worry. We're going to do two Bi Curious episodes next month.
In the month. And the first one, we can tell you, due to your polling efforts, and it barely edged it out, is My Unorthodox Life. Yes. I am, however, going to talk a little bit about So Freaking Cheap, mostly because I want to talk about that crazy bee who wanted to have her daughter's wedding for $750. And yeah, how they have gotten free food wherever they've went, and how she tried to have her daughter wear her other daughter's dress that had rat poop on it.
Wow.
No, it's fucking pathological. Like, I want to punch this woman.
Everybody's telling me I need to watch White Lotus. I've heard like seven people tell me that
I need to start
amazing.
It.
What is that show about?
It's on HBO Max. I don't really know. People, Connie Britton is in it, and I'll watch anything Connie Britton is in.
Oh, I've never seen anything with her in it.
She's amazing. Did you watch American Horror Story the first season?
I never saw. That's the one season
Friday
I didn't
Night
watch.
Lights.
I never watched
y'all
Friday Night
Lights. Come at me. I've only watched seasons 1 and 2, and I liked it, and then I got busy and never watched it again. Mostly because I really loved the homoerotic parts with Tim Riggins.
Is he gay, I'm assuming?
No! You know, not everyone has to be gay for me to watch it. But it helps.
Y'all, let's move in. Let's jump into this. Let's talk about...
Whoa!
Let's talk about Joby Chow and Yara.
Joby, we're going to go to Miami. We're going to have some food.
I want to say something because it's kind of... It starts off... Yara's at the pool by herself. Jovi, meanwhile, is talking to his mom kind of about the night, kind of the night before. I've really talked about, because Yara even said on the last tell-all, the way Jovi has became a father has really made her love him more, and the way he stepped up as a father. So we were really kind of getting this idea that Jovi was trying to step up and be more responsible. And you and I honestly said, you know, probably they're going to play up that Jovi's a party boy.
Yeah.
But we feel like they're okay. I don't know that anymore because I don't think Jovi's that good of an actor. And someone who seems this just rigid in this thinking of that my wife needs to party like she did before, like, I'm a little worried. I'm going to be honest.
I'm a little worried, but not much. I still think these problems are nothing problems. Compared to Kalani and Asuelu or Mike and Natalie.
Yeah.
They're second in the and after the Brandon and Julia.
But I watched this. I don't know about Brandon and Julia. But I watched this and I was like, this episode was the first time I thought he's going to cheat on her one day.
Well, here's the thing.
That's what I thought.
I said it last week. He lives in either work land or party land. And there's nothing in there. He is going to have to, between him and Yara and his motherfucking mother, who's the only one who sees him as who he is. I think she might be the only one to get through to him and say, Jovi, you gotta be a father. He had no.
I think she's the only one because, you know, Jovi tells his mom, he's like, we were there and we had a fight. He's like, maybe Mila's an excuse of her not wanting
to
focus on me.
I think Mila's an excuse that Mila's just like, you know, she doesn't want to pay attention to me.
Which is so, I know some fathers deal with this, but the fact that he's saying, he's taking it so personally. And Gwen even says, you know, because he's like, I'm going to take her out and get her drunk. And she's like,
yeah,
Jovi,
Mila's going to be fun when she's drinking.
He said, Jovi's a mother now, Jovi.
Yara.
Yara's a mother now, Jovi. That's a different thing. And she said, you know, I really had my doubts about Yara, but now that she's here and she's a mother, I kind of think that, like,
yep.
What about
Jovi's
Jovi?
Not ready to be a father, yeah.
And she says, Jovi, don't take her out drinking. She's a mother now. Take her to a nice restaurant. Like, you got to get on the right track. And she said, I don't think Jovi's being completely honest with himself because he's being very rude and he needs to rethink that. I love Mother Gwen.
Me too.
Love you, Miss Gwen.
I also shout out to the
we
people.
We doubted
who,
you from the beginning and you
we did.
Read us.
Shout out to the people who say, I like your Jovi impression because they said it sounds like you're almost doing a combination of Jovi and Miley Cyrus. Because I kind of am. I'm kind of doing Miley Cyrus at the same time.
Oh, God.
So, thank you. Thank you.
I'm glad that I was talking a deep thing about Jovi and the whole time you were
thinking. I wasn't listening.
You're like, I was thinking about Miley Cyrus.
I was listening. So he says, you know, I won't be as good to you as I can, and I hope you appreciate it later on when they're out at the
at
pool. Which is a thing to say.
That's the deal.
I hope you appreciate it.
What I realized when he speaks to her, y'all, he never validates anything
never.
She said. He honestly, I wrote this for the first time. I went, wait a minute. He's gaslighting her. He's making her feel like her reasoning and her thoughts of what she's saying is she's stupid for thinking that, and that she's always overreacting, and that she's making a bigger deal out of nothing. He's minimizing her feelings.
I think you're giving him too much credit that he is gaslighting.
I guess gaslighting does show that he's intentionally trying to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
I think that's intent.
I think, though, he is minimizing her feelings, and he's so... I think Jovi actually is very sensitive, and I think he's so...
Oh, I agree.
He's reacting so much to his own hurt and his own feelings of not being loved. He's totally not able to validate anything Yara says.
I wrote down that they both take everything so personally.
They both
that the other one
sensitive.
Does.
Yes. Yes.
And it.
I'm not itching my crotch. If you're watching on the intimate, I'm itching my foot.
I wasn't asking.
Looks like I'm touching my junk and doing
what
something
are
dirty.
You doing?
I'm itching my foot, but it looks dirty.
Yeah, when you make your face like that, not cute. So she's basically like, you know, I was always a grand mind side. He's like, no, you weren't. Like, we had fun. We were traveling the world and we had fun.
And he starts calling Funyara. He starts.
I want Funyara back.
He's like, I want Funyara. And she's like, Jovi, we were so happy yesterday. And then you destroyed it with the mood. And she's basically saying, you're telling me, what am I supposed to think, Jovi? You're telling me yesterday that I'm not what you signed up for. How do you think that makes me feel?
Yeah.
And she's like, this is the real me. And he was just like, well, I got the fun version for 2 years.
Yeah, that's just, then he says even worse. Well, like, you were like hiding this part of yourself. I don't even know what I'm going to say right now.
I don't think Yara's asking for a lot. She actually said, and this made me sad, she said, Jovi, I just want you to love and appreciate and be nice to me. Yo, that's it. She's not. I know Yara can be a princess about some things. I don't think she's, at least from the edit we're seeing, she's not asking for a lot.
I think he was not ready for the level of which motherhood changed her. And
I think a lot of that's because
he wasn't there.
He wasn't there. He's with baby who sleeps through the night now. He wasn't, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of you are parents, but a lot of you aren't. But I've been around my nephews and stuff.
He missed out on that.
A newborn baby, the first 3 months, is terrifying because they not even don't sleep. They can't do anything.
They literally
are so helpless. They need everything from you. And that is stressful.
Parasites, if you ask me.
Wow. Yeah. So it's just, golly, it's just you're right. That's it.
Yeah.
He wasn't there and he never got that. He never got that. He never got that.
He's going to take her to a Russian restaurant. It's going to be real romantic. She's like, Russians aren't romantics. I don't know. When I read Anna Karenina, I felt a lot of romance. I mean, they're romantic in a different way, like throwing yourself in front of a train at the end. That's romance for me. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
How old were you when you read Anna Karenina?
I was in high school. But
did anybody else read it in high school?
We had a choice.
Did anybody else read
summer.
It in high school?
I don't know if someone chose to. We had a choice to read War and Peace or something else or another summer reading thing.
So big, long books.
Yeah. And I chose, and I don't think I chose that one, but I read.
But you finished War and Peace, so then you read Anna Karenina?
No, I started Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment and I didn't like it. So I read Anna Karenina and I asked her, the people talked about it and she said, oh, sure, you can read that too. If you liked it, but I
and then she said, little Little Mary Boy Jake. Bless him.
She was, she knew. All of my English teachers knew I was
prancing, too, yeah.
Lisping queen. They knew what I needed.
Did you read War and Peace too in high school?
I never did. No. It's not one you probably never read that.
No, I don't want to read that.
Anyway, the Russians are great romantic. They're just extreme. They usually just die. The most romantic thing they do is drink themselves to death or shoot themselves with their husband's gun.
Yeah, that movie Anastasia is very sad. That's my knowledge.
So they're at this Russian restaurant, and I like Yara saying, Russians like to show how much money they have. It's like they just picked up the entire Russia and took it to Miami. There's gold and everywhere.
Covered
it's
it
like,
with gold.
But it feels homey. I will say, if you're in a Russian restaurant, it does feel that way. Like, I think, is it Le Cirque in New York, which is a Russian restaurant, and it looks, it's very like old world, very opulent. And Russian food is very like very peasant food meets high class. Lots of caviar, lots of pancakes.
I'm sure we have Russian food in L.A. A Russian restaurant because there's quite a large community.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Like Robertson, you'd see some Russian food.
Yeah, we should go to one.
Lots of meat, like dumplings, heavy meat dish, soups, borscht. Like Natalie tried to make.
Borscht.
Borscht. I made borscht.
I made borscht.
Butter. So what's borscht?
Jovi, and Jovi says, starting tonight, I want you to be as good as you can, but you need to do things to make me happy and focus on me.
Awful. Yeah, I know you just had a baby and stuff, but I want you to focus on me.
I wrote Jovi. Like, who says that? Who says that? Like
someone who has never realized he wasn't the center of his parents' life or the center of, he was probably a popular boy in high school.
Yeah, because he's a party guy. He's a party guy. That's mm-hmm. what defines him. Y'all, if someone says that to you and you don't have kids with them, leave them because they're a man child.
He's a man child.
And
definitely.
They are not going to. That's what I feel like this is going to end up for being. Poodle, we all have friends that have been in that relationship of, well, he just didn't show up and do. He didn't get a job again, or he didn't show. He didn't do this again. He didn't get me mm-hmm. a gift on Mother's Day again. Like he's just keeps dropping the ball, but I just keep moving the ball down the line.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I guess I'll get used to it.
Is that what your mom said?
Maybe. But no, that kind of thing of getting used to it, you guys, is they're telling you how you should behave. That's
but Yara's
what it is.
Stuck, y'all. She's fucking stuck. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she's like wants to leave Joby. She does love him. But this, unless something drastically changes, y'all, this is still going to happen 5 years from now.
Yeah, I think they're better. They're better than they are right now on the show. They've had some really rough times. I think also it is good that Joby is away so much. This is my ideal marriage, where someone is away for 2 months and then they're back.
But it's good for you, but it's not what Yara wants.
I agree,
and I agree. I think when he's away, I think he does work really, really hard, and he is. You can say that he's sacrificing for his family because some people on our squad are talking about Joby's sacrificing for his family.
It's all he's ever known. I'm not going to give him props for that.
I don't think he is sacrificing. I think that's all he ever known. And he's just working because that's his job. Sacrificing for his family. And I get it. He wants to have downtime because he works really hard. I get that. I get that. But the deal is, y'all chose to have unprotected sex and you chose to bring a child into the world. Your life's got to fucking change.
There has to be some middle ground between I'm going to work really hard for 2 months and then, or work, and then I'm going to go to vacation time. There has to be some reality there. And there's not reality for him yet.
He
doesn't know how to live in reality yet.
There's not reality for that as well. And so
that's going to be his mother's job, sadly.
And so Joby says, so they decide to go. So they go out to eat. Y'all, And Jovi Gaines just like, yeah, but we're going to go out, but just please enjoy it. Please enjoy it. And I'm like,
that's all I ask. I'm paying for it.
But again, she's brought up all this stuff about you, and he never said, like, he says things like, she's like, when she brings up, said, Jovi, you don't appreciate me. And he's like, well, I guess you say I don't appreciate you. Or he'll say, like, well, maybe I don't appreciate. Like, he never says, he never takes responsibility.
Well, that's from being a mama's boy, because you can't.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
He does say they're having good food. She's having a good time. When Yara is being treated well, Jovi knows this. When Yara is being treated well, she feels respected. She's in a good mood.
And she's a princess. I get that she's a princess, but yeah. Y'all, she's earned that title. She has pulled her shit together.
She's basically saying things like, maybe I strip for you tonight. I'll do little things like this. Like, oh, you want to go to strip club? Want to go to the strip club? That's my
That's
favorite thing.
Jovi, and he keeps saying, and she's
I
like,
love strip clubs.
She's like, well, let me finish my wine first, Jovi. He's like, yeah, finish it.
We're gonna pay the bill now.
Drunk yard tonight, and then we're going to have a fun yard tonight.
Awful.
And then I was just like, Joey, he's like, yeah, he said, because I want fun yard because I don't. And he says things like this. You know, I don't mean to be mean, but you're a boring mom. How are you supposed to take that?
How is that not mean? How that is exactly. You know, I don't mean mean, you're a boring mom.
When he said that, I wrote, fuck this guy.
You're just
guy.
A boring mom.
Fuck this guy.
It's a little like, destiny, too. You're just a boring mom.
He's too fucking old. I know he might be amateur, but he's totally. Too old to be acting this way.
I agree. Because the thing is, he's gotten by with it. And it will be... Yeah, and, it's... Yeah. He's 30? Jovi's 30-something?
Y'all, you know what he is? And this sums it up. And I know a lot of sissies have probably said this or experienced, or probably a lot of sissies in our sober group. Y'all, he's an alcoholic. That's
definitely a functional alcoholic.
But this is what this all is. He's an alcoholic. He needs to go out. He needs to drink. That's his validation in the world. Mm-hmm. That's what he identifies with. He's too scared to get sober enough to because, y'all, I bet he works hard on those things, but I bet you can drink at night. He probably drinks at night.
I don't know. I don't know what they do there.
I just think this is just complete alcoholic behavior. I want you to be like the way things were when we were drunk all the time, when we were partying. Yeah. That's the life that I want to have. It's just classic alcoholic behavior.
And you guys, you can be an alcoholic without falling dead drunk and being like Barney on The Simpsons.
It's not. And yes, it's about your, you don't even have to drink
your relationship to alcohol.
Exactly. It's about your relationship. Mm-hmm. You can drink 10 times a year, but every time you drink those 10 times, it completely just, it is totally interfering with things in your life. And y'all, his partying is beginning to interfere with his life.
And reflecting his relationships.
Because this is happening with Yara, but guess what? Jovi's going to need to go pick up the kid. Well, he would have gone out and he would have drank with his friends, and he doesn't go pick up Mila at some event.
I totally agree.
That shit is gonna happen.
So y'all, of course,
sorry,
we end up at
I just
the strip
made
club.
It real.
Well, a little soapbox, but that's okay. That's what we're here for. So he is. He said they're at a strip club, and they walk in. He's like, "Yeah, I love this. It's like right when I used to be." So she's kind of like she's uncomfortable.
She
and
is.
At this point, they're trying to. But at one point, she's like making it rain. And,
she is, and she's being fun.
Then, y'all, she sees him put the money in the stripper's G-string. Everything turns. Because then all her insecurities come back of him being at a strip club. And I will say this. I don't think Jovi would fuck every girl at a strip club. I think he does just enjoy being there. Sometimes
but
he's not going to touch people.
He will get drunk and cheat on her. I do think that. I do think that.
I'm not saying, but that doesn't happen every time he goes to a strip club.
No, but I've got to give it to Yara. Yara does not, I don't think it completely turned. I really don't. I saw it differently. Yes, he put money in a drink G-string, and after that, but Yara said, okay, Jovi, we came. It was fun. I want to do something else. And
but those things happen at the same time.
But she didn't whine about it. She wasn't mean about it. She said this was. She actually said this was fun. Let's go do something else.
I agree with you. And she was nice about it. But I think, and it happened actually at the same time she took her top off. The woman took her top off.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you guys, Joby, I want to marry a cool girl. I want to marry a cool girl who goes to strip clubs with me. And Yara desperately wants to be a cool girl. And I guarantee you, the whole relationship they had, she kind of portrayed herself as a cool girl.
For sure. But y'all, she's not. And now that she had a kid,
she's even less of one.
But the most important thing in her life, this is what it all boils down to. Joby wants to be the most important things in Yara's life. Yara's child is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Mila is the most important thing in her, as it is for a lot of moms. And that's a really hard thing for husbands to grapple with, because they feel like they have lost a wife because they feel like the wife now loves the kid more than them. And it's important in relationships to build that relationship back with a husband and wife, or two parents, to build that relationship back up. So, because I do agree, you've got to take care of the relationship that formed the child first to give the child a supportive. But I don't think Yara did anything out of line here. I thought she said, she's done now, let's go. And Joby digs his heels in like a 6-year-old.
Yeah, kid. This was not good. I think I was seeing a little bit of her, because she's had a lot of jealousy and insecurities about any type of stripper thing. That's a cultural thing for her.
Yeah.
That she only sees an idea that men would go to strip clubs to fantasize about the women and would possibly bang them and would jerk off afters.
I think that's totally true. But I also think she knows Joby, and she knows Joby will go with his friends, get drunk, and get a lap dance and make out with a girl. I agree.
And it's interesting how the tide has turned, because I was saying, you were saying, oh, it was just a dance before. And I was saying, yeah, something's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Tide has turned.
Our viewpoints have changed.
Hey, we're sophisticated ladies. We can have a change of opinion.
I wrote down, I'm loving that the strippers had masks. I appreciate that.
Good for them.
Their titties are out, but their mouths don't have to be.
And this is true. Tits out, mouths not. And so Joby, now maybe they were only there for 3 minutes. We don't know. That's different.
Yeah, I don't think it was very long. I really don't.
We don't know. And so Joby says, you won't go now? You won't go now? She's like, and she wasn't trying to be not fun. She's like, let's go do something else. She wasn't even saying, like, I'm done. He probably could have said, you want to go to a bar and have a drink or go dancing? And she probably would have done that. And he said, instead, Joby just says, well, I'm having fun. I don't want to leave. So therefore, Joby only has, it has to be, you're right, he's so spoiled. For him to have fun, he can't compromise and have Yara's version of fun. He can only have his fun. Because you're so right. Yara probably used to always agree with what Joby wanted to do because she wanted to be that cool girl.
She wanted to be the cool girl.
She's insecure as well, and she wanted Joby to love her.
And a lot of women think that men want a cool girl who'll go to strip clubs. They'll go to Marvel movies with them. They're fine with them hanging out with their female friends. They want a cool girl. And a lot of, especially my female friends, have tried to be the cool girl to men they're dating. And then when they marry said men and things change a little bit, and they're like, I thought you were cool. And it's always a problem.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Ladies, don't try to be something you're not.
And Yara tells him, she's like, he's like, what's the problem? I thought we were having fun. What's the problem? And Yara says, and I agree, she says, Joby, I deserve better than this. And Joby says, and he's like, sorry, I lost my place. She says, you're so selfish. And then she, again, this is alcoholic behavior. She's like, when you're drinking, you're an asshole. Y'all, if someone becomes an asshole when they're drinking, they probably have a problem with alcohol.
Right.
If it changes their personality, that's what this really truly, like, it's so, I bet if Yara went to an Al-Anon meeting, her head would explode because she would feel so seen.
Cool. That's all I've got on them.
I just have, Joby does his classic So now what do you want me to do? So again, not let me take responsibility, but so what do you want me to do now? What am I supposed to do now? Just that's just his classic. If he had a t-shirt, that's what it would say.
Right. They go back to the hotel.
Yes. They go. That was it, y'all. We talked for a while, but we're not going to take a break yet. We're going to talk about Libby and Andre.
So y'all, first thing, shirtless Andre.
Ooh.
He is a beefy. Now, he's already throwing his weight around. She's like, can you do the dishes? She's like, no, well, you're an independent woman. You can do dishes. Now, he says, he mouths off. Do you know what he does immediately? He starts doing the dishes. He just needed a mouth off.
Because that's the kind of relationship they have.
It is. Nice ass last week.
And I want to suck on his nipples.
Mama.
Apparently, I said this on the podcast, and we didn't know it. Y'all, I did not know that men breastfeeding and into breast milk was such a
lactation
thing. Y'all have porn. Came at us, and that is a thing.
I did not know it either.
I thought it would be. You were more like, no, but it really, I haven't Googled it yet
because
I'm scared.
I only said that because of the amount of straight men that I'd heard who were grossed out by breast milk.
Well, we were wrong, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Nothing wrong with it. Do you?
So they.
I would try to get milk from Andre's nipples.
Oh, I would. I would suck on them until something happened. One of us will be milking something. So
Price is Right, isn't it?
Yes, that's my favorite yodeler game.
That is a good
game. I watched that with my grandmother poodle, and she goes, "Let's see if he falls off the cliff."
You know what? My dad loves Price is Right. We watch it every morning.
I was shocked at Drew Carey with that beard now.
He actually said today, he was like, hey, everybody, I'm Drew Carey with a beard.
Yeah.
He's very funny on that show, I have to say. People say he's one of the nicest people in show business. He has
I believe it.
Nice.
So she's going to go meet Chuck. Uh-huh. And I do one more thing, and then Andre's going, blah, 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 these fuckers. And at one point, Ellie goes, daddy. And she's like, see, she's saying daddy, don't curse.
And Libby's like, listen. He's like, okay. Yeah. So they, so Chuck meets with Libby, and y'all, this was kind of, I was kind of like, because Chuck basically says, look, we can't be having this. Like, this is not our family. Our family's imploding. We can't even have a birthday party. He said, I wanted to eat that cake. And we all did.
I had a real visceral reaction again. Anytime cake is disrespected. And he said, I got to tell you, this isn't Andre's fault. And Libby goes, really? Wait, where am I? Am I being pumped?
She's like, something I never thought. And Chuck says, I think this is about jealousy.
Jealousy. Yeah.
I think they're jealous of what he said. I'll be honest. Andre does everything I ask him to do. Yeah. He's a really hard worker. He's working harder. He didn't come out and say this, but y'all, he's working harder than Coke Charlie.
Yeah. And he said they wanted to paint him as the villain for so long. And I'm realizing now that they might be just a little selfish themselves.
And
so y'all,
Libby's like, this is what I've always been saying. Yeah.
So there's a family cookout. I wrote down, hide the cake, possibly. Don't bring wieners.
Hide your kids. Hide your cake.
They're throwing cake at everybody out here.
Chuck wants to have a family cookout.
Yes.
There's
going to be one. Come on.
And Libby's kind of like, this is a bad idea. This is going to go to complete shit. We can't even be in the same room together, but it's going to go bad, but okay.
So the next thing is Becky and Jen. Y'all, we've rarely seen something like this where two or three secondary characters are meeting without any of the fiance or the fiance's partner in it.
And I bet we did. We haven't seen those seasons yet, but I bet we did. And in Chantel's family, and they ended up getting a spinoff.
Oh,
because we called it. Because we fucking called it.
So,
y'all, this is like
going to be a house flipper.
Peter Pepper picked a petus. Poodle and I once did a sketch for Cabaret where Maleficent and the Evil Queen from Snow White got together. And it was basically
it was
what
pretty
this was
niche.
Like.
Yeah.
It was pretty niche. It was really gay. Nobody really thought that sketch or song was funny.
A lot of dragon jokes. We really enjoyed it. We also sang Grass Is Always Greener. From How the World Goes Round.
I was like, it's so easy for you. You can turn into a dragon. You were like, it's so easy for you. You can feed a dumb bitch an apple.
Yeah.
We loved it.
It was polite laughter in general.
There was polite laughter. There was an old gay man who was about 68 who used to be a retired librarian who loved it.
Yeah. The stuff that we really love is pretty like gay brow.
Yeah.
Not
eyebrow. It's gay brow.
Or it's dumb like Kim Davis dancing with Jesus.
Yeah, we did that. Or me singing to a dildo for a Christmas song.
Yes.
Y'all, but this is like two evil queens getting together to plot their demise. Because we said this. I don't remember if you said it or I said, but one of us said this. They're going after Andre, but this is all about Libby.
Yeah.
And they're going to turn on Libby. No, we called it. We said they're going to turn on Libby, and they are.
So they're basically saying, Andre. He's coming. Think about where he comes from, just like in a really underprivileged part of Europe. And so why is he so entitled?
I can't imagine someone who's an immigrant who has nothing. Poor peasant people should never aspire to anything greater.
Why did they think they're all that?
Yeah, that's just really, really rude.
And, I think that dad is intimidated by Andre. I don't like that. And Libby is a fucking pro at playing our dad.
And he's just been watching Libby suck up to our dad, and now he knows what to say.
Wait.
And they both have their hooks in them.
I've got an idea.
What?
What if we stick it to them and go out on our own and compete with them?
Wait a minute, Jen. You're telling me you want to go out on our own and stick it to and undermine our own father and our own sister.
Yeah, just to hurt them.
I love it. Why didn't I think of this before? Oh my God.
It is completely just to hurt their own father that they are doing this. It is fucked up.
It is fucked. This is in 80s comedy movies where they needed a character to be evil and they would have an evil sibling all the time that would want to kill their father, and this would never happen in real life.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
I was honestly shocked.
I was speechless. So y'all,
but yeah, we're setting up. They're gonna in their new reality show, y'all. It's gonna be Becky and Jen against Libby and Andre and Chuck.
Flipper fight. That's what the show should be called. Mm-hmm. Flipper fight.
I gotcha.
Are they gonna flip a house or are they gonna fight?
I had a lot of Saturday nights where it was like that. Flip or fight.
We need to move on.
Most likely, it was fighting.
Jen really says, by the way, she says this to the person who both. She says, fuck them. We don't have to rely on them.
Wow. Terrible. They're only on the show because of Andre. Let's remember that.
Yeah. Only on the show because of Andre.
They only
have OnlyFans where they show their buttholes because of Andre.
So that's all I have for them. I think we should move on to Mike in Italy.
But y'all, go grab your butter, because we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me.
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Yeah. Y'all, we're going to talk about, I know we said Mike and Natalie, we're going to save them for later, but
I'm gripping my couch. I'm gripping this couch.
I got to tell you, it's in their whole relationship, Tiffany and Ronald have just now decided to go to counseling.
But okay, so here's the deal.
At least they're doing it, I guess, but Jesus.
Nope. Here's the deal, y'all. My couples therapist teacher told me this in college, and I went, okay, we'll see.
Preemptively go.
People, she said, God rest her soul, Nancy Fawcett, she's amazing therapist, and she's passed away now. I had her for group, but she did couples too. Anyway, who gives a shit? But
I was about to counter with that.
She said about 90% of couples come to therapy too late.
When they're already.
She said, so really, she's like, it's not that as therapists we teach them how to break up. They think that's what they're coming for because they should have came 6 months prior.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is the perfect case. It would be like Mike and Natalie going to couples counseling now. It's where someone like Jovi and Yar, this is when they should
this
go
is to when they
couples
should go.
Counseling.
Mm-hmm.
For Brandon and Julia, this is when they should go to couples counseling. And then Julia yells at the therapist and says, you don't know me. And it goes bad.
Why are you wearing a mask?
Wait. Yes. Yes.
I don't know why I feel like she's a COVID denier. But
for some people like Kalani and Asuelu, because I think they could benefit, although Asuelu would have trouble,
mm-hmm.
but they could benefit from something like, but y'all, Tiffany and Ronald, they're circling
the drain.
They are a dead, dead fish and it stinks.
So Ronald's basically saying it hit me in the face, like with a bet, when she told me that she wanted a divorce. And in the past, he was
in
against counseling.
He was against
but
counseling.
He will go when his uncle is the therapist.
Because y'all, and he even says, and he will tell me what he will take, hopefully. And this is a problem with therapy. He says, hopefully he will take my side.
My side.
And that is a big deal. I mean, that drove me crazy when I was first. Y'all, I've admitted this. I did not enjoy couples therapy.
It's a nightmare.
Again, it was a nightmare. And it was a nightmare because except for one couple, and I saw like, I think I've seen like maybe like 30 in my career.
They want you to side with one of them.
Yep. Only one couple was like, we both want to take responsibility and learn and grow together.
That's a fucking unicorn.
Every other couple was like, tell me I'm right.
Tell me he's the one to blame. Yeah.
And y'all, if you're wanting to go into couples therapy for that, you're already doomed.
So, Ronald. So, what do you think?
Pastor Paul.
So, why do you think do you think having a counseling session with someone who's a relative of someone going in is a good idea?
So that's considered unethical.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear you say that.
So here, ethics are a weird thing, though. Ethics aren't rules. Ethics are ethics. So it's kind of this morality of what, but we do have, you know, ethics are it's not like mandated reporting, like where somebody says if they're thinking of killing someone, but they don't have a plan of killing them, they just have thought about it, I can't report that. I was just worried
that
this is not appropriate.
That this guy was some kind of Christian therapist.
So I get worried too, because sometimes, y'all,
who aren't licensed.
And I think we get triggered by it because so many of our gay friends have gone to reparative therapy, mm-hmm. to pastor therapists.
Yeah.
Because at least from my understanding, people that do that get therapy degrees from like ministry, it's a totally different type of therapy degree.
Yes, their goals are different.
Whereas, like my master's is in clinical psychology, theirs is not.
Uh-huh.
So and I can't speak to it. As your sissy said, I should get some more information before forming an opinion.
I will get some more information. Well, I think the goals are very different. A lot of marriage and family therapists who are associated with a church specifically, and I'm only saying a church because
they want to bring someone closer to Christ.
Exactly. And strengthen the family unit and make sure that marriage succeeds more. We've heard from sissies who said these same Christian quote unquote therapists or their pastors would say in the relationship if you're being abused.
That's a common thing.
Yeah.
That has been very, very, very much a big problem. So whereas there is to bring them closer to Christ, my goal as a therapist is just to bring you closer to whatever your hope is in life and to a more authentic version even a thought. If you tell me I don't want to be authentic, this is what I want, I'll say, okay, that's what we're going to work towards.
What right. You're you working want, with what they're saying.
With what they're saying, as long as it's reasonable. So, yeah, but not everything he said was horrible.
I agree. That's why I was asking. Because
Ronald really got turned on his ass here, because Pastor Paul agrees a lot with Tiffany.
Ronald, you need to change your poopy diapers.
You need to change your poopy diapers. Because Tiffany opens up and basically says, I feel like I'm drowning. He can't even change the diaper. And Ronald brings up, well,
if
because
it was
it's a
boy,
girl. God, he's no so steeped in this sexism.
Well,
that just
she tried
so
to explain
gross.
It away, too. She said he's afraid he'll be too rough with her genitals. That's not it at all. He's, in a way, grossed out by any genitals that aren't sexually attractive to him.
Well,
honestly,
probably. He's also too, I think it's bullshit. I think if they had a boy, he wouldn't want to change the poopy diapers
possibly
either. I think it's just a fucking excuse.
I've heard men who have that hang up though. And it is goes way back to some like kind of distrust of women in general.
We
were talking about Below Deck. There's a special kind of misogyny for the South African Dickens. And it just exists in this culture.
God, y'all, if you're not watching Below Deck,
what are you doing with your life?
I would love for y'all to listen to her show, but I don't even care at this point. Like, that show is so good. You need to watch that this season.
You're right. I sat on it for so long and never told you anything about it.
Thank you. Golly. It took me forever to get out of you. So y'all, and so I think what Pastor Paul says, like, he also says, talks about, he said, he's like, you must do your part. And he says, something he says is so true. It is the small things in a relationship. Some people don't, they want to talk about just big things and not give attention to small things. That's Ronald. Mm-hmm. Ronald's always talking about big picture things. And it doesn't matter that I don't do this or that this doesn't happen. And he's like, Tiffany, that doesn't matter. He just wants to talk about big idealistic things. Because again, y'all, someone who's dealing with addiction wants to deal with the big picture things.
Right.
It's very like Joe, it's very similar. And so he then brings up, he's like, Ronald says, well, I don't know how a female can tell a male what's going on and what he's supposed to do.
Tiffany's face looked like someone had just thrown a turd at her.
And it hit her square on the face.
And hit her right on the mouth.
But the deal is, I just want to say this. Tiffany knew he was this type of person.
Oh, yeah.
Before she married him and before she had a baby with him.
I also want to say that Tiffany said
so dumb.
that one of her things, that I understand why this would completely trigger Ronald, is it's like, I don't want to like compare who is above who, but I was a blessing in this man's life.
Oh, and this
and it's
was,
almost like she wants to be thanked, and Ronald's
this,
never going to thank her.
He's never going to thank her, and this we've talked about this before. She is punishing him for his addiction.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
Ronald's an asshole. That has nothing to do with his addiction. He has an addiction, and she is punishing him for that.
What do you think about Pastor Paul's thing of, well, Here's the simple thing, Tiffany. You just need to boost his ego.
So, Pastor Paul, before that, he did say, "Put your wife first." I thought that was good
because he's like, "That's as we're the man." I don't love this language, you guys, but this is what he said: "You are the man of the house, the man of relation, and you must honor your wife above all else." That's why it sounded quasi-religious to me.
It was very I didn't love the language, but at least he's saying he needs to think of her needs, which Ronald mm-hmm. doesn't. This whole boosting the ego, that I don't love that, because what they're saying is
create an artificial thing so that Ronald can continue his loop in his life.
That's just part of misogyny. Y'all, misogynistic cultures are, we've got to boost up the men, tell mm-hmm. the men they're so great. Women, you take us, because ironically,
he's got a fragile ego. He told
Ronald to put his wife first. He told Tiffany to put herself second.
Right.
That's what he's saying by booster ego.
And to be honest, this is a lot of Southern culture. Oh, you know him. He just needs to know he's the man. I can just flatter him and he'll be fine.
Yeah. And the thing is, what I think I wish he would have said, not that you don't need to boost his ego, but you do need to understand him and walk in his shoes.
Yeah. Validate his emotions. No, not at all.
Because if Tiffany did that, she would, because I will say, Tiffany's not wrong. She's like Sun Hee from Smothered.
Oh, God, don't compare to that.
But she is right in what she's saying, but she completely destroys people and makes them feel like pieces of shit.
She is humiliating him to elevate herself.
And what she realizes, it's a very male patriarchal way, the way she is diminishing him, because that is a male thing, is you criticize someone, you demean them, so they quote unquote man up, instead of being a feminine way, is to respond to them, to attune to them, like none of that.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right that she does approach him in a way that is, I'm going to make you feel like, I'm going to make you always remember that I was the one who saved you and you owe everything to me.
Yes. Yes. And that is,
she is constantly trying to create the relationship in her head that she always wished she had. And she will hold Ronald up to that, and that's all she'll accept.
Yes. And I think that has to deal with, y'all, we don't know why her father left. We don't know if it was addiction. We don't know what it was, but we know, for her being able to say she saved Ronald is some way for her to say that she saved that little child in herself that didn't have a dad.
Yeah.
That's what this
exactly.
is. It's so good. Now, Pastor Paul does says, now listen, I need you to do some things. One,
stop criticizing
each other.
Which is a good thing to say.
That's a good thing. Two, take your anger and put it aside. I have a kind of a problem with the way he said that, but it's not wrong. And then he told Ronald,
be supportive.
And Ronald's like, well, and he starts to badmouth her there. And he says, stop it.
Yeah, I like that.
But I wish he would have said things of, because I'm not practicing now, but when I was, I wouldn't try to say things. If I try to say something like, okay, you really need to put your anger aside. So then I would have a conversation of, what does it look like when we put our conversation aside?
Right.
How would you do that? Hey, that's the thing that I worry with, kind of, because sometimes people that are pastor ministers can often say, these are the things that are not going well that you need to fix.
That you need to do.
Pray on it.
Right. Or
and even, that's not a tool.
Even worse, you take sides.
It's like a singing teacher when you hate it, when singing teachers say, yeah, that note sounds pitchy, fix that. Instead of saying,
because you put a big scarlet P around someone's neck.
But you don't give them any tools. You don't tell them, hey, actually, you need to lift your soft palate, or you need to work on your breath control. If you think of placing it here, the pitch.
You diagnose them without giving them.
You give them something to fix it. And I don't feel like he gave them anything.
No,
to replace
didn't.
Those problems. Because if we take the problem out, you have to replace it with a solution.
He gave them Laffy Taffy wrappers.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it.
I just said Laffy Taffy wrappers.
Laffy Taffy wrappers. You're on your second vodka, so yeah, I figure it's just going to start slurring.
So,
Poodle's a little out of it because we've been so busy. Poodle hasn't gotten dick down in like a week,
and
y'all.
I haven't eaten yet because it's late at night, so we're trying to do this quickly.
By the time we get to Mike and Natalie, I don't know what the fuck he's going to say.
So, anyway, they're walking out. Ronald's like, who knew my uncle would take your side more than my side? You're exactly right. As soon as you say, that means he chose his uncle so his uncle would side with him. And y'all, you know you're at a lost cause when you're trying to score points.
Again, that's perfect. He wasn't going to therapy to be a better husband. He was there to score points.
Yeah, and really, stick it to Tiffany.
And that is a problem with he and Tiffany is they both compete against one another. Yep. Who's being the better spouse? And y'all, no one wins at that
and
game.
And Tiffany says, he's like, you know what, Ronald, my faults aren't the issue. Again, she is putting herself, and I understand why Ronald gets like tweaked by her, because she says, my faults aren't the issue, yours are.
She's the worst person for him. She will make him start gambling again.
They really did find the worst possible people for one another.
But they found the pattern that they're used to. It's cuckoo. She flew halfway around the world to find someone that fits her fucking pattern. That's how strong these patterns we have are. That's insane when you think about it. But that's how strong they are.
She found the worst person at that bar. To find someone who fit the same pattern she was doing in Maryland.
Yeah.
God bless her. Tiffany, she's one of those people who I think she's got a lot of strength to her, and I would love to help her, but I think she's so fucking stubborn. It would take a lot of work.
She's done it all on her own, so it's hard for her to, because she really has, I mean, her mom's helped her a lot, but it's really hard for her to say, I need help.
Speaking of.
In like a real way.
He's throwing that, he's like, yeah, well, you have your mom to help you all of that.
You haven't done it alone.
Oh,
y'all. Pastor
Can you
Paul,
think of a worse thing to say to Tiffany?
I just want to say, Pastor Paul, 10 minutes ago, just said, don't criticize each other.
Right.
And then all... And it's more on Ronald on this point.
Yeah. She refuses to get in the car. She just refuses to get in the car.
Good for her. And so she and Ronald says, you won't be able to do this criticism thing. Yet he's criticizing her that she can't not do it. And she says something. He's like, well, you say I don't. Oh, he says, you say I don't do enough. And she says, well, that's not criticism. That's fact.
That's fact.
And she's right.
She asked a
good question. She was like, because she said, she said it kind of like, show me, and kind of with an attitude. But
yeah,
she said,
that's
I wish
problems.
She would actually said, hey, how do you think I criticize you? What do I say? And instead of saying, oh, okay, I understand how that can make you feel this way and this way. This is where I'm coming from when I say that. Instead, that she just says, yeah, that's not a criticism. That's fact. So again, she denied what he was feeling.
She didn't
validate.
Told
him he was stupid for feeling that. Y'all, they are a masterclass on how to not validate your partner's feelings.
I will say they are, and I've compared this to it before. They are that train that is just you just see that track over the trestle. It's no more. You know they're going to take down their fucking kids with them, and it sucks.
And it sucks.
Anyway, shall we move on to a couple who have even less of a chance?
Wow, that is really fucking saying something. Y'all, let's talk about Mike and Little Timmy.
Y'all, are you watching Caribbean Love? Because or. Love in Paradise, the Caribbean.
I almost answered that, and I was going to say, yeah, Poodle, remember, I'm watching. I forgot you were talking to our listeners.
Because at least this has a certain level of levity that you can watch and say, oh, I can, thank God none of these people are really going to ever be together. Except for the ones I really hope, Mark and Kate.
Hey, that reminds me, y'all, if you haven't seen, it dropped. The Other Way is coming next. It's the next show that is coming.
Corey and Evelyn.
We haven't announced this yet on this free feed. Yeah, it's Corey
and
Evelyn.
Corey and Evelyn. Kenny and Armando. Of course, Jenny and Samil.
Jenny and Samil. And there's also, y'all, Ariana and Biniam.
Yep.
They're going to be there.
There looks like a lot of drama with them. Shocking, yes, with Ari involved.
Shocking. There's also a new woman.
Two new couples.
I think this one woman is probably somebody. When I thought of this, was probably on Paradise and Love, the Caribbean. And they took her. They decided it was too good of a story.
The woman who's with the black guy. Yeah,
the white, and he said that because it's going to be a, it already comes up in the thing. It's a white older woman with a younger black guy,
and then two younger people,
like in Panama or Jamaica, somewhere in the Caribbean,
somewhere in an island,
and then there's this two strange looking scarecrow people.
Man,
and this kid looks so freaking weird.
Yeah, and the Eastern European woman he's with. So y'all, it's. It's going to be a season. We know that Chicken Jenny and Sumit will deliver.
Jenny fucking going off on Sumit.
I loved it. And he deserves every minute of it. And we know that Evelyn will be pimping out Corey to some local relatives.
Yeah.
And so that'll be great. I'm sure Ari and Benyam will provide it. And then Kenneth and Armando will be fun. It'll be manufactured because they have no real problems.
We get a little bit. I really hope. Look, y'all, we've said this before. I love Kenny and Armando, and I love that they represented the gays so well.
Me too.
But y'all, this is about them planning your wedding. I need Armando to be a fucking gay bridezilla and make ridiculous standards for this wedding.
I need a Mexican twink. I need a 22-year-old twink who wears women's jeans and an 80-year-old man from West Hollywood.
Yes, that's what I need.
That's what I need. And I need them, and I need the twink to demand that he move to Puerto Vallarta because he doesn't want to come to the U.S.
Puerto Vallarta, and he wants to have a wedding with 400 people.
And white tigers.
What I need.
That's what I want.
Kenny and Armando.
That is the gay other way that I need.
Yeah. Sadly, because I love them. I'm excited for Kenny and Armando to bring kind of joy. But this is going to be a beautiful wedding, and Poodle's going to cry.
Wonderful! It's going to be wonderful. They're fine, y'all. Little problems they're going to have. Their problems that they have in their relationship are not as much as the problems they have with the rest of the world.
Yes,
the problems in their relationship are minimal compared to the rest of the world thinks.
Because they're both wonderful people. So
they are. They're lovely. We talk to them on Instagram all the time, and they've been nothing but kind.
I still love that picture of Sophie he did. I have it framed in my
That
apartment.
Was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. I have it framed. It's very moving.
She was never that healthy looking, though. I need to say that.
We need to move on. Okay.
Always looked sickly.
Y'all, okay. Not a spoiler alert, but another thing we kind of found out. We don't talk a lot about news, but I feel like it's important with Mike and Natalie. Obviously, they had that blowout.
Are we going to talk about it?
Well, we had that blowout last week, and y'all, we found out that Mike was so upset that Natalie took all the presents from Christmas to her friend's house. We don't know if it's Juliana, but we're assuming it's Juliana.
Yeah, and
we don't know.
Also took the last can of hoo hash.
But y'all, that's it. She took the fucking food. She took the Christmas dinner food.
Also, this is a big deal. Y'all, we have heard that there is two text messages going on from either Mike or someone in production. And we talked about this on when Mary Payne and I did Pink Shade. That there was Mike basically said, it was Mike or someone said, yeah, my mom did call her a hooker.
I called it. I think it's going to come out in the tell-all. That's
and
what
they
I think.
Did not show it. Yeah. And it was because Natalie was talking about being a kind of a paid escort to go out with older men and go-go dance or something like that, and which is a different thing than we have in this country. So Butter says, an escort, is that like a hooker? Now, y'all, and I'm the last to defend Butter here. She was probably trying to make a joke. And of course, Natalie jumped and said, did you call me hooker?
But at the same time, read the room, Butter. It's Natalie.
I know. Butter's not going to read the room.
And it doesn't matter what. And Butter's never. If that's true, now we know where Mike gets his gaslighting ways from.
Right.
His mother.
And Butter can be correct in saying, Natalie, I never called you a hooker in that way.
She asked if you were a hooker, but she never called you that.
Well, she didn't ask. That's the thing. That's what makes Butter so shrewd. She's like, is that like a hooker?
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about that job.
I disagree, though. I think Natalie, with someone like Natalie, Natalie would jump to whatever. And oh. And I do say that Butter probably was trying to make a joke, but is also trying to demean Natalie at the same time.
Oh, she was totally being passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
she, I don't think she was trying to, maybe she was trying to make a joke. As soon as Natalie reacted to that, she said, finally, I got mm-hmm. what I want. Something ridiculous that Mike will never believe that I did.
Right.
And this will destroy the relationship. Y'all, right. Planned it all along.
It was anyway. Butter all along.
Exactly. So like, y'all.
That was on our Facebook group where someone said, oh my God, it's real. And like to the tune of call WandaVision, it was butter all along.
All along.
It was butter all along. I miss WandaVision.
Somebody yelling outside the hallway. Oh God.
You're like me in my old apartment right now.
I feel like a gay man. At like a gay bar, and I feel like a gay man in the 50s. Though somebody's come in and say, "Stop being a faggot," and arrest me.
Well, you are in Texas, so who knows what Governor Abbott will recommend after that?
Sorry if I'm whispering, y'all. It's 11 o'clock here, so I'm in a hotel room.
It sounds like you're screaming in my ears. So it's okay.
If Poodle's learned anything from hotel rooms, we know those walls are thin.
That's true. When I go down to pay my bill at the end of the night, someone said, yeah, I heard you had a good time last night.
Oh, I like that you said at the end of the night. You mean at the end of the hour?
Yeah, anyway, Mike and Natalie. So Mike is basically walking by himself, and the producer's like, well, how are you feeling? He's like, whoop, you know, I've been holding that in way too long. We still say, and I say this, what we saw last week from Mike was the most emotionally bare thing we have seen this season on Happy Labor After.
I agree.
And you did, and I will say, I no longer think that Mike is not emotionally invested in Natalie. I completely believe he does love her in some way, as misguided as it is.
As misguided as it, yeah, I do believe. I do believe.
However, I don't believe that Natalie loves Mike.
I, you know, you said this, I used to think she did, but I agree with what you said. Do I think she wanted to get to America?
Yes. Yes. But I think it ended when she saw his house. That's what I said last week.
Yeah. I think what you said, I do think she did. I think she didn't know him. I think she loved the idea
yep.
of Mike. I don't think she was saying like, I want to come to America. It doesn't matter who. I think she was more like, oh,
Burley y'all, because remember,
they didn't meet on a dating website. They met through a friend.
Yeah.
And I think it was like, yes, I met this big, handsome
man.
That's going to take me away and have a fabulous life in the wilderness. I'm going to be like a medicine woman show. I love her. I'm going to be like that, have really long hair that I need to cut because I'm too old to have that long of hair.
God, that's the fucking truth.
Her hair's too long. Anyway.
So, y'all, she is...
Not Natalie, but what's her name? Pamela Quinn, medicine woman.
Dr. Jane Seymour. Dr. Quinn.
Dr. Quinn, medicine. I wrote Pamela Quinn.
Wow. So...
Hi, this is Pamela Quinn. I'm a medicine woman.
This is Pamela Quinn. I'm a physical tech from Staten Island. So he is calling Natalie, you guys, from a park. She's not answering. They haven't even texted. So when your wife won't answer, who are you going to call? Call Butter.
Call Butter.
Go Butter.
Butter. And he's like, Mom, I just need to process some shit. You know, Natalie said she's at Juliana's. And she's like, yeah, we had that fight. And she's like, you guys fight all the time.
Right.
Yeah. And
you
she does
fight
it
all the time.
And y'all, we see how she is pulling the strings
on. Yeah, Butter is a puppet master. Butter puppet. Yeah.
She even says she does all this on purpose. And then she leaves. Yeah. You alone.
She's a snake in the grass.
Y'all, the way she makes her son
she's
feel.
She's a scammer.
But the way she makes Mike feel like shit about his decisions, he probably has to think, how could I...
Pathological.
The reason why he can't accept what she's saying is because, A, he loves Natalie in some weird way, but B, he's like, am I this big of a piece of shit?
Am because I this mother big of a failure?
Yes.
And he says things like...
She turns around and does the most evil stuff, and it's evil. I just want you to think about, how does your son feel that his mom's telling him that the person he loved and married is evil?
Shame.
Yes.
And she even says, well, the minute she gets her work visa and green card, she's gone. So you need to divorce her ass and send her back.
And how about this? The whole thing is about getting over to America. If it wasn't you, it'd be another man.
That was the worst. She basically devalued her son's worth right there.
Yes. She basically said, didn't care about you at all. You're nothing. You're a pawn.
This was like a fifth act reveal.
Yes.
Next, when we saw how disturbing Butter's hold on Mike is. And so,
what Natalie is saying a lot. Natalie, again, y'all, I say it again. She is one eye blink away from lunacy. And I stand by that. She can be super cuckoo. But most everything she's saying about Mike and his relationship with his mom.
Especially about Butter.
Mm-hmm. Is dead on. Dead on. Do I think she's a princess? Do I think she probably does nothing and she's not super supportive of Mike? Yeah.
And to me, she is not realistic. She doesn't live in the present. She's only looking for that future life, which is her biggest flaw.
And I think Mike wants a real wife.
He does. And he would have been so much better just finding one of these local scream girls.
Yes.
Maybe they won't have him. I don't know.
Find someone in Sequim who enjoys the rain in the woods. Find that person.
So anyway, the producer asked, what do you think about what your mom says? Like, well, my mom's got her thoughts and, you know, I don't have to listen. Sometimes, you know, we're going to have our differences.
That is not Mike's voice. That's Caesar. That is not even Mike at all. Okay. You're getting hungry and the vodka's kicking in. We need to move on.
So he says, Natalie is important to me, but I'm going to try to keep working on us. So cut to Natalie at Juliana's house. She's waking up, boobs all a perky.
She wakes up in the morning. Juliana, headband and all.
Headband ready, headband Russian dress.
She's bringing her tea on a very fancy tea set.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know.
Yeah, I think we need to do it. All right. It's time for another installment of Reality Ace Theater, the Russian. It's time for another episode of Reality Ace Theater, Russian Edition. Oh. I will be playing role of Juliana.
I'll be playing Natalie.
In action. Oh, my Natasha, you're so beautiful here in morning light. Oh, your boobies look like pierogies. I believe that is Polish, but your boobies look like dumplings. Overfilling coops. tiny Arctic rats. We used to have his pets because it was cold, very cold in Russia. Arctic rats kept privates warm.
This tea good. Thank you.
It is sometimes known as an aphrodisiac in Russian culture. You feeling anything in your lower extremities?
No, my heart is open to you, my friend.
Can I put my head on your bosom?
Oh.
I will lay my headband on it.
Sure. That's fine.
So tell me about...
I,
Tell me about Hookergate. Tell me about what you said about your hooker ways.
We talk, he call me hooker. She call me hooker. Mike says, no, we fight. I can't take it anymore. I don't want to live there in Ski.
I will tell you one thing, my beloved.
Yes.
You do not love Mike.
Yes.
You need someone who
is... I try so hard. He don't respect me. He don't take me seriously.
No,
I can't do it anymore.
You need someone who appreciates your femininity.
Yes.
Your beef stroganoff.
I wear Asian outfit and make egg roll and socially totally appropriate things that he does not appreciate.
You do not need men. You need female friend now.
Female. Oh, you're,
yes.
You're hugging me. You're hugging me. Oh,
yes.
That's very tight, the
Ooh,
way you hug me.
Yes, let me. I will rub my head on you. Oh, beloved.
Oh.
We have so many things to share together.
This is...
I have Yakov Smirnov double album comedy we listen to later.
This is the last time I heard that album, I had sex for the first time with man.
Oh, we will change that. Yes, we will. Remember, you have me and that's it. That's all you need. You have Juliana.
You're right. Why are you touching my thigh?
Well, you just need to know that is custom in Russia. You Ukrainian, you don't really know. So this is how two women show they are close together.
Okay.
And I will ask, in the word of Brian Adams, have you ever really loved, really, really, really ever loved a woman?
Who is this Brian Adams?
He folk pop hero in America. I have so much to show you. Do you like headband?
How did you get
it? It would look good near your vulva.
Well, how did you get my panties off?
Secret KGB trick.
And scene.
Y'all,
Juliana's in love with Natalie, y'all. Juliana's in love with Natalie.
How much more obvious can it be?
I was screaming when she like says, can I hug you?
Yeah. She literally lays on her.
And you're right. When she says, you have me, that's it.
That's all you need.
Now, go get your stuff.
Go get your stuff. How can we get you?
Yo, now, I don't know if Julianne... Now, great that she's a lesbian. I do think her headband's on a little too tight. I don't know if these are the...
Juliana's married, though. But she's married to a man, but doesn't mean she doesn't like women. Yeah.
Just saying, y'all.
Y'all, she's in love with Natalie. Come on.
Say, do you say scissor sisters in Russian? Come at me.
I just made that up. But,
And y'all, so she goes with Natalie, and it's... Look,
amazing again, how much she knew Brian Adams' oeuvre.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Who knew? They really both do have their problems. So we're not saying that, like, y'all, we've ragged on Natalie a lot the first season. We've ragged on Mike. Like, they're both, we've said this before. I don't think they're both winners of people.
Neither of them need to be with the other. They both need to do so much work on themselves. There is not a team Mike or team Natalie. There is a team no Mike Natalie relationship, which I think most of us can get on.
But it's my heart went out to her in that. I mean, she might be acting for the cast. She was an actor, but you could literally see kind of panic. Her getting more and more nervous as they're driving back to the house, more and more nervous. And she finally gets there. Juliana's waiting in the car. Natalie gets out. She opens the door. And she walks in, and Mike's
sitting there with a trucker hat.
Sitting there with a trucker hat, just red face, like he'd had a couple of shots of Apple Beam Jim whiskey or whatever it is.
Apple Beam Jim?
Or Jim Beam Apple.
I've never experienced it.
It's not like familiar. Whiskey that's apple flavored.
Oh, not a fan.
Yeah.
I don't like fruit with my drinking.
Is that a gay criticism? Y'all, that's the show. That's all I got.
I also need to apologize for me saying I could never finish a milkshake Between the, our Facebook group and everything,
you were read for filth.
But people said, I finish a milkshake anytime I want to.
You were?
And I was just like, you said you couldn't do it either.
I don't remember that. I think I just wanted you to feel validated.
Oh, maybe. So you finished your Sonic milkshake every time, huh?
Maybe. I didn't. I can't. I have to. I can't tell a lie.
Either. I don't know what it is. But you think a milkshake is always, to me, it's a good idea in theory. And I'll have like four sips and I'm like, I'm done.
Oh, no. So I think maybe I did have misunderstood you. I thought it was, I don't let myself finish a milkshake.
I just can't.
Oh, no. I will drink all of a Brahms hot fudge milkshake. Maybe not a large.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
Is that what the guy said to you when he cummed in your belly button?
No, that was There Will Be Blood. You know, no film.
Oh,
when to wrap this up.
There Will Be Blood looked like a sad movie about angry people.
No, it's a fantastic film, but that's fine. It's no Phantom Thread, as you had a problem with.
Oh, God, that movie's wretched. Anyway,
all right, y'all, that's the show.
That's the show. Reality Gaze Podcast. You know the drill. Find us on Instagram at Reality Gaze Podcast, Twitter at Reality Gaze Pod. We're on Cameo. We just mentioned leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And hey, if you see something funny that we post on Instagram, our sissy Christina works really hard.
She does.
She makes really hilarious.
Hardest working woman on Instagram.
It's true. And if you think that the meme that you just watched us post is funny, just press that little airplane and share that to your Instagram story.
Oh, really, I love that little airplane.
It makes a difference. Sharing is caring.
Sharing is swearing.
Sharing is swearing. Yes. Uh-huh. All right, everybody. We call these people Lonely Hearts Poodle because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yeah, and if you love, like, you don't like necessarily, like, have to love, like, strippers, but you just like strip clubs. Like, that's my favorite thing. I don't like strippers, but I love strip clubs because, like, they give the drinks the best and, like, you can watch sports in there and stuff. Who cares about Mala? Call us.
You just ended a show with Who Cares About My Baby? That was dark, and I'm here for it. Y'all, we'll see you next week.
That's my move.
Poodle, I need to talk to you about something that happened at our New York live show.
The lying designer said it was his first time and that his wife didn't care.
No, Poodle. It's just that people are talking about your outfit from the show.
Oh, yes. My corset that I bought online that was specially made for my body. It accentuated my creamy shoulders and gave me a waist cinched for the gods.
Well, also, I don't know how to say this, but some sissies said their male husbands noticed your...
caboose? Men flocked to my posterior. It makes sense.
No, the other side. They noticed your junk.
Oh, my.
And apparently there was some jealousy. I can't believe I'm talking about this. But some men said you looked very junk forward, and some male sissies in the audience were a little jealous.
Well, they should be. I bring the heat. Well, if I'm honest, Maddie, I've got a little secret.
Oh, I know you banged the guy that organizes your building's trash bins.
How dare you mention Orlando? I can neither confirm nor deny. No, Maddie, I mean, those male sissies don't need to be jealous at all. Well, maybe a little jealous. But they, too, can be junk forward like me. My secret is that I wear the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
The contoured pouch and ball caddy?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy. Not only is MeUndies underwear comfortable and breathable, but it also makes my junk look huge.
MeUndies, who knew?
Yes, and MeUndies has looks for all types of people. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small through 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
Oh, and I do know that MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Their lounge collection is incredible, featuring joggers, hoodies, and onesies, and more. And it is unmatched comfort because MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
Well, not only are they cozy, but MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, it's on MeUndies.
Well, Poods, now that I'm living the single life like Nuttley, I need to advertise. I'm getting some MeUndies.
I don't want to hear about your sex life on the podcast. Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.